All right. Good afternoon, everybody. How's everyone enjoying their outpost at Anaheim?
Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, good. All right, cool. Welcome to the Foundations and Pillars of the Halo Community panel. We're going to be talking about the foundations of the community, where it's gone through, where it is now, how it's changed over time, how it's contributed to the Halo franchise, and we'll talk about everyone's communities up here. Starting off, my name is Dustin Pettigrew. I go by Duststorm Online. I am the owner and host of Pod Tackler, which is a weekly Halo podcast. We cover everything and everything under the umbrella of Halo.
I'm Brian Sullivan, also known as RageMoreNerd Online. I am a co-founder of PlayGriffball.com and the administrator of the American Griffball League of America. And the AGLA has been running competitive Griffball League since 2007.
I'm Benedict Choi, or Space Meat. I'm, I guess, the founder and leader of Anvil Station, Halo cosplay group. We like to stand around and look pretty in floor mats.
I'm just some guy they picked up off the street. I think that's the name they're giving me. No, but seriously, Chris Loomis. I'm also a member over at Anvil Station. Action officer seems to be the appropriate tag. I also go by Crazed One. That's my kind of handle that I've lived by for the last, it's probably been 12 years.
Cool. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the early ages of the Halo community, but I just want to go down the row. When did you guys start getting involved with the Halo community? And we'll start with you, Ben.
When I started getting involved with the Halo community?
Mm-hmm.
Comic-Con, 2010. I literally got dragged into the Halo community. I built Halo armor for the very first time, and I showed up like at a Bungie panel for I think Halo Reach at the time. And I was like, ah, cool. And then after the panel, I was walking by one of the curtains, and there were people from the 405th there, and they were hanging out with the person who was in the cat suit that Bungie had brought. And literally, one of the people there grabbed me through the curtain and pulled me in and be like, hey, you're a costume. You're one of us now. And yeah, that is kind of how it works most of the time. We just grab someone like, you belong to us now. You belong to Oni. So that is literally how I got dragged into the Halo community.
I started way back in, I think it was 2007 when Halo 3 released. I was playing Halo 2, but I was more on my own at that point. I was kind of, getting match made with all the various random people out there and getting curb stomped most of the time. Not as fun as you would think, because I actually did break like 3 Halo 2 discs. That was fun. Yeah. I had rage issues back then. It might have been the Sniper Jackals. But Halo 3 came out, and I found if all you old school people might know this, Hottie McBloggy, run by BS Angel. I came across that forum, and I started getting more involved. I started playing with those folks. But I think the thing that really sealed it in for me, and this was such a cool thing to do, is the fact that for Halo Fest in 2011, BS Angel was asked to provide some volunteers to help work the event, just to kind of like what they're doing here, let people in to the setups for Firefight and Big Team Battle and Slayer and all that. So I volunteered to do that, and we would just work half days so we could spend the other half of the day doing whatever. And of course, I spent the other half of the day at Halo Fest because it was awesome. And just how inviting everyone was in that community and subsequent communities that I met and interacted with is really what got me into everything.
Cool. How about you, Brian?
Well, so I started Halo back in the Combat Evolved days and Halo 2. It wasn't until like Halo 3 when Xbox Live entered my life, and I got into the MLG community then when Halo 3 was really involved. And that's when I start getting friends and I start getting involved in communities, and it becomes more than just a game. It becomes, these are the people you spend your time with. But then when Reach comes around is when I started getting heavily involved in Griffball. And then that's when I joined into the Griffball community. And it just really changed my outlook on how I look at the game, because it's not just a game anymore. You're a part of a group of close friends. And then eventually you go out, you meet them at the conventions just like this, and it becomes real, and it's just not a game anymore. It's something special. But And then Griffalls evolved from Halo Reach to Halo 4 to Halo 5, and it's just an awesome experience to be here right now.
As for me, I got my start kind of in the Halo 2 era of stuff. So I actually first had a friend who was playing Halo, and I kind of would play it a little bit off and on with him. I wasn't super involved with it, but I really started to get involved when I heard of Podtacular, oddly enough. And I didn't have an Xbox, or didn't have a computer with Halo on PC at the time, but I was really interested in the franchise and the story, so I was listening to the podcast. And the summer of 2007, I had my own laptop, and I bought Halo for PC. And then that Christmas following, I bought my own 360 and bought Halo 3. And that's where I really started to actually participate in the community and really give back, start participating in play dates and making little tutorial videos for the podcast. And then eventually, when the original founder of the podcast decided to step back, I approached him about taking up the reins for the podcast, and thankfully he said yes, and that's where I got to where I am today. Who here has heard of Bungie.org, the website?
All right. Come on, you know you have.
So that's pretty much the de facto start of the Halo community. It was started by a really well-known person, Claude Herrera, otherwise might be known as Louis Wu within the community. And this was a fan website for Bungie, the studio. There was a lot of things that kind of led up to this. We actually had the opportunity to have Claude speak in Orlando, and he got to tell us how Bungie.org really started back in the Myth days, and just following Bungie as a studio on the fan site, they eventually had Halo.Bungie.org, or HBO, not to be confused with the TV channel. And a lot of the communities have really stemmed from that. I know for Podtacular, we got some hosting from them originally for some of the videos that we did. There are some other communities that really got their start there as well. And it's been a very valuable resource, and a lot of branches of the communities have really picked off from there. It was the announcement of Halo in 1999 that started the whole Halo community within Bungie.org. And nowadays, we see that the game has really fostered a multifaceted community. So you have people that are interested in so many different things. You have multiplayer, you have cosplay, lore, artists, composers, you name it. There's something for everyone within the Halo community. Another thing that really helped with developing the Halo community was the advent of internet. So having the ability to actually talk with other people online, find people that have a similar interest with you, was a big thing for the internet, and Halo really benefited with that, having come out in 2001. And we all have met, I think our first time meeting was through the internet to some degree.
These are facts.
I don't know. I get dragged and meet people in person, and we all have our shared love of Halo that just kind of joins.
All right, so you're the outlier.
Yeah.
That means you're no longer welcome here. You have to leave.
I'm sorry, guys.
But that just goes to show that even though Halo started off as a couch co-op player without really any internet connectivity at the time, internet really helped create Bungie.org to be what it was, and really was the foundation for a lot of the communities that we see today. Some of the first communities really focused on three main things. So lore being probably the most prominent back in the day. It was something very new, futuristic, cowboy space shooter type of thing. So a lot of the discussions about the lore were very prominent on Bungie.org. Another thing with competitive multiplayer, that's a very big facet of the Halo community today. And then having just that community aspect of LAN parties, being able to invite your friends over, just play Halo together and have a good time, was something that Halo really brought together and has fostered a lot of different groups and activities, and really just laying the foundation of that really interpersonal relationship for a lot of community fans. You guys have any funny LAN party stories of any kind?
Unfortunately, oh. Not. That was before me.
Oh?
You have a story? Come share your story.
Okay, I can show them. Well, my story is sort of, I guess it's beyond LAN by this point. It was when, during the Reach era, I'd already known a lot of these guys, like in the Halo cosplay community. And back then, we all had Reach armor. And I remember we were playing, like, Slayer or whatever, and we were all, basically, our armor permutations matched what we were wearing in real life. So it was the most surreal thing to see him in this armor, but I'm shooting at him in game, and I'm like, wait, what? What's real? What's fake? I have no idea anymore.
Yeah. It all blends together.
It's like I see that Spartan, and I know exactly who he is just based off armor permutation. I don't even know, need to look at like his gamer tag. I'm like, I just killed Jose, the red one. You know?
It wasn't so much back in the day. It was a little more recent, but we did have a little LAN get-together a couple years ago with some friends. And, I mean, it's always just so much, like, I mean, of course, being able to play online with your friends from anywhere is great. But being in the same room, and if you're doing, like, a one-on-one deathmatch or whatever, it's just like, ha, I just scoped you in the face. And you can sit there and point and laugh at them in real life, and you can watch them cry.
If you're going that extreme, sure. So a lot of different things have really enabled Halo to foster a community. And one of the biggest things is it has such a diverse sandbox and experience set that you can really pull from. So a mysterious and enticing futuristic science fiction universe, having a story that really hasn't been explored in as great a detail as Halo's really put it in. There's a lot of influence from other sci-fi stuff, obviously, with being very futuristic and space-oriented, but it was something where the narrative was relatable, and you had characters that you could easily identify with and really understand. Some of the game mechanics that Halo also introduced, 30 seconds of action, a lot of immersive SPS, or first-person shooter aspects, modern graphics, innovative game controls for a console at the time really helped make Xbox and Halo a staple within the console experience and really have an attractive part to where everyone wants to be a part of the community and wants to enjoy this experience. And that really led to a lot of people really having the opportunity to meet up with other like-minded individuals and have common interests that could be shared across a lot of different people around the world. The competitive, engaging multiplayer is also a very big staple within the Halo franchise today, as we have plenty of tournaments that are organized, a lot of people that are very interested in the multiplayer aspect of it. And then just being able to have that couch co-op, being able to have LAN party, being able to play Halo there with your friends was also another big facet at the time that really made Halo a almost gaming must at the time. The game evolves over time and also introduced a lot of really innovative features, so Xbox Live being one of them, skill rankings and matchmaking, really making that competitive experience even that much better and that much more engaging to players.
That skill ranking is part of the reason why I broke 3 discs of Halo 2, just so you know. This guy gets it. They were part of it, but no, that skill ranking was a big part of it.
Was Sniper Jackal's disc 1 or something like that?
Maybe. I will not confirm or deny it.
Additional tools like custom games and Forge also allowed self-expression within the game. So people being able to make their own gameplay experiences. Also being able to create your own Spartan identity through customization of your armor was also another big thing. Hence the armor permutation comment from earlier. Being able to share content, so screenshots and save films, it's also very innovative. Being able to say, hey, I did this really cool thing, check it out. That was a very big part of Halo 3 and also,
bless you.
Also a very big part of where content for the community really comes through.
So going back to the being able to customize the game quite a bit, and for me, being so big part of Griffball, Halo being a first-person shooter, we decided we could make a game that has no guns and it's just hammers and swords. So the the sandbox that Halo had in Halo 3 and the introduction of Foundry, where we can, with the map editor, and we can just make an open box, take out all the ranged weapons, and just hit each other with the hammers. It's a very unique experience to a game that not many shooters are going to be have available. And it just adds to the just how unique the game is and what it provides for players who are looking for something a little bit different from the typical experience you get from a shooter.
All these tools within the game allows for personal identity and being able to create an experience that you can call your own within Halo. And I think that's one of the really cool things that the Halo franchise does that a lot of other franchises don't have. Just the breadth and depth that the Halo games have offered has made a huge part and played a huge role in just the diversity of communities that exist today.
I also kind of feel like that the way they embraced the ability to shoot your own videos through theater and make these short little fan films and machinima was also a big thing, because they didn't have to do that. I mean, like, you know, Rooster Teeth put together some jerry rig of capturing the footage and editing it together to look like a movie. And they really embraced that and made it so a lot of people could start doing that. And that's when you start to see a lot of the big, fun projects out there.
For sure. Another kind of small thing is having things outside the video game, novels, ARGs as well, something that helps support the franchise and gives another avenue for people to engage with the universe. And then finally, we have a very mutual developer and community relationship. Just being here at Outpost is evident enough that the developers really care about their fans, and fans provide feedback to the developers, and developers continually give back to the fans based on feedback and based on their vision for the Halo franchise. And that really started with just Bungie being out there and wanting to engage with their community. They saw a lot of people doing really cool things and wanted to engage with the community. And one of the ways that they actually did that was through the Hump Day challenges, where they would grab some of the clans from Halo 2 and actually play in little kind of matchups with them. Another thing that 343 does nowadays that Bungie started was highlighting community content as well. So you would see the blog updates on Bungie.net. And nowadays you have the community spotlight, where they will go and curate content that the community has produced, whether it's Forge art, artwork, renders, gameplay clips, custom games, custom modes, Forge maps, anything that the community has gauged interest in or has really taken up, they'll take that content and make sure to spread it around, because they really just appreciate how much the community really really contributes to the franchise overall. The game creators also have a very rich content and events schedule during kind of the high peak times. So having the HCS events for competitive tournaments, having some other contests. So like here we have the cosplay contest, which is going to be happening. So they're always finding little ways to get the community engaged in different ways, which is pretty unique and not as often done within other franchises. Another thing, final bullet on here, is 343 and Bungie have opened their doors to community folks who have shown that they've put their time and talent into being a very passionate fan. So they've invited what's known as community influencers to the studio. They get to see some of the behind-the-scenes work of what developers are doing to create the games, what the environment is like, and get a sneak peek behind the doors of what they're working on and really be a positive influence within the community. So let's talk about the diversity a little bit. And these guys are in here a little bit. So competitive play is probably the biggest and most recognizable community within the Halo franchise. It includes a lot of different communities out there. So amongst the top ones up here, Team Beyond, Europa Halo, NoobCombo.com, and then there's some other ones that are kind of unofficial, which is PlayGriffBall falls in that category, the Halo Wheelmen, the Halo Wars Championship League. All those are competitive communities within the multiplayer space.
And I can't stress how important the competitive aspect is to even casual game modes like Griffball. Because Griffball's life cycle, it spikes when a new game comes out, because it changes with every iteration of the game. But as the casual community typically flattens out, it's the core community of the competitive players that have kept the Griffball community going for over almost 13 years now. Because there's just a special level of passion that the competitive players have for this specific game mode that they thrive in. And it's just so important to keeping the communities alive for so long.
Yeah. Another kind of supplementary stuff to the competitive side is also speedrunners. So there's people that will go and complete the campaigns as quickly as they can. Stat tracking has a few different communities over the years. Halo Charts, Halo3.junk.ws, and the Halo Discord bot all do stat tracking for your Halo stats. And we also have streamers who constantly put out streams for targeted multiplayer competitive content. The flip side of that is more casual multiplayer. So you have Forge Hub, Halo Customs, Halo Forge Epidemic, Halo Tracks, and other community cartographers who are making multiplayer options and experiences that are a little bit off kilter from the normal competitive Slayer, Capture the Flag, Oddball, that kind of stuff. But they're fun and engaging. So things like Husky Raids, Super Fiesta, any of like the Frenzy modes, those are other little fun multiplayer modes, and they work well for custom game nights or game lobbies, and that's another really big part of just a casual multiplayer experience within Halo. Another big part of it is the creative art side of things, which can sometimes go a little bit under the radar depending on what area, but this is a very generic title for the different ways that people express their artwork forms. The first one I have up there is cosplay, where we have people dressed up in Spartan armor or dressed up as AIs, ODSTs, Marines, Covenant, anything that is from the Halo universe and bringing it to life. Screenshots and Forge art is also another kind of smaller community, but it's still very significant within kind of the community space with the other artists. You have renders and animators, drawings, machinimators, musicians and composers, fan games, and content creators that are all doing some kind of creative art form around the Halo franchise. And it's really a expression of love for the franchise and a way to give back to the community.
I took a brief look at that slide and I could have sworn it said cave paintings. I'd love to see someone do some Halo cave paintings.
Well, we did have the carving in the Infinite trailer. We did have that.
Hey, yeah. Someone go do that.
I think we have a fake cave wall over there. Let's get started.
Okay, there you go.
One thing I've learned over the years is that you should never underestimate how creative people can get in the community, especially even forgers. We did a Griffball map competition once where people just came up with the most creative ways they can make a box look. And one of my favorite things I ever saw was someone who turned the court into a bathroom. And the court was in the tub. So, given the tools of Halo 5 Forge, there is just limitless possibilities with what people can do. They get a little inspiration.
There's a lot of creative people out there, and there are frequently things that people do that I just shake my head. I'm like, how do you even do something like this?
Some of it's frightening.
There's some pictures out there that have been in some of the community spotlights where you think they're Photoshopped or you think they're rendered, but they're actually pictures, and then vice versa, where you think something's rendered, but it's an actual picture.
Like Halo 3 had a lot of those pictures where people would take the weapons and make them look like angel wings, and they have the Spartans jump up and look at them. Those are always some of my favorites.
That Forge art's really cool.
That was really popular.
Yeah, that was another good one.
Yeah. Universe and lore is also pretty big, but probably under the radar community. There's a lot of resources out there, and there's a lot of people dedicated to finding every tidbit of lore in every Halo game and every Halo publication and every little subscript of a packaging of a figure to look for lore and look for little references within the Halo universe and try to piece it all together. And there's a huge community behind that. Halopedia and Halo Wiki, now Halo Alpha, Podcast Evolved, and Archive Installation are all great communities that are specifically focused on the lore of the franchise. Every little tidbit of the universe they've tried to archive and dissect to be consumed by the common Halo fan, and you can dive into whatever you want to within the Halo universe. You want to learn more about the Insurrectionists, you can go learn about that. You want to learn more about the Covenant hierarchy, you can go learn about that. So there's a lot of those kinds of resources and people dedicating themselves to finding out all that information.
And the great part about the lore especially is after you go through, like you read some of the books, you can go back and play the games and it gives you a different understanding of what's a part of them. The Halo 3 terminals are like one of the first things that you would recognize, and they're not part of the gameplay at all. It's strictly the history of the Halo rings and the lore. I always go back to the Forerunner trilogy a lot, because if you read those books and then you go back and play Halo 4, it pretty much changes everything about the story that you didn't know. Because there's just so much, all this information, you know who these new characters are that have all these backstories and thousands of years of history behind them.
Yeah. Yep. Encompassing news and community sites are a little bit more of a distant past type of thing, because there was a lot more under one umbrella as far as communities go. That's kind of spread out a little bit more to where communities are really focusing on specific aspects of it, but there's still a few of us out there, so Podtacular is one of them. Halo.bungie.org still kind of serves that role a little bit, but probably one of the more well-known ones is the Halo subreddit, where anyone can post any news item up there or post their own content or work to be shared all amongst the community.
Careful with those subreddits, though. They can get real dark if you go down that rabbit hole.
And there's also collectors. So for those of us who are stupid enough to buy the Legendary Edition every time a game comes out, or every single Halo console, or every single Mega Bloks or McFarlane figure, there are those of us people. And that's another part of the community where they will just buy action figures and building sets.
Yeah.
Anything that has a Halo license tag on it and it's a physical piece of gear that you can get, they will buy it. And that's another community that is out there.
I think I once told somebody in the product department that all you have to do is put a UNSC logo on it and my wallet just opens up.
That's the key to success.
Pretty much. Halo has had a lot of impact on the community, obviously, just from what they've developed with the games, all the technology that they've put into it, all the features that they've added over time. But a lot of that really boils down to giving the community a way to express themselves and identify themselves within the universe. So whether that is through enabling people to create your own custom games, being able to build your own armor and have an actual physical identity, being able to find other like-minded individuals who are interested in the lore, anything that really falls down within the confines of that diversity within Halo, that has been enabled because the Halo franchise has been developed in such a way to support that kind of a community. And that started with Bungie, and 343 has carried it on, and it's also been the result of why Halo Outpost even exists to begin with. 343 wanted to have a space where Halo fans could bring their families, bring other people into the Halo universe, and actually see what Halo could be like if it actually existed in real life.
I told one of the 343 people this the other day that I would kind of compare this to kind of like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, obviously not on that scope, but in terms of experience. Like it feels like it's the same kind of thing where it's getting you into the universe. Do you guys agree? It's kind of like that?
Yeah. And finally, there's also the stuff that supports the games. So all the novels, all the comics, the ARGs. Anyone here a fan of the Hunt the Truth podcast that they did? Yeah, a couple
of people. I was a fan of the Hunt the Truth. The campaign.
Yeah. I'm talking about the podcast.
Yes, the podcast was good.
Yeah.
Short answer.
So all that stuff that they build outside of just the games also gives a lot more of an engagement for the community to dive in and learn more about the universe. Reciprocally, the community has had an impact on Halo. So developers are very keen on grabbing feedback. That's why the MCC Insider and now the Halo Insider programs exist, to garner feedback from the community. another part of the contest that they have sometimes is to gauge community feedback. So they've partnered with folks like Forge Hub to do contests for creating maps, and then those maps get featured in multiplayer. They've worked with folks like Griffball Hub and PlayGriffball.com for getting a Griffball playlist together and promoting seasons for Griffball. And then you have things like Major League Gaming that really started that competitive part of Halo and has catapulted it to where Halo can be a competitive esport, and you have payouts of $2.5 million for a single tournament. Another final aspect to that too is the developers are hiring community people. There have been plenty of people. We've got one sitting in the audience, and we'll actually have another one on our panel tomorrow of folks that have got their start within the community, and there are some notable people. So if you walk around, you'll see Grimbrother One and Unishek. They all started out in the community, and they've been hired on by the studio because the studio sees the value that they have put into the community, and also their experience and their knowledge of the community and how it translates into game development and just the studio support as a whole. So a couple of bullets on what makes a community thrive. This is just a short little thing that I've pulled together and that I've learned over the years, but communities really last if they have a particular niche that they fulfill. If you're looking for a cosplay group, there's plenty of cosplay groups around, so you can find that a lot of them have a specific niche that they fill within that greater cosplay group. So the 405th is definitely a global organization. They're very good at making sure you have the resources to start building and have those tutorial videos or people to reach out to. But then like for Anvil Station, they're mostly a West Coast or SoCal focused group. So there's a kind of a branch there of you have 405th kind of as a greater community, and then you have Anvil Station that really is kind of a very specifically targeted geographic community. But then you have podcasts as well. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, don't let that slow you down. I'm from Denver. So just a...
Yeah, but you make the trek out here. And
I do make the trek out here a lot.
It's because we grabbed him and never let go.
Yes.
So you pulled a Ben, or you pulled... You pulled him like people have pulled you into Halo.
It's a chain. Like, you know,
it's a never-ending chain.
That's how community works, right? You grab and make a chain and never let go.
I got to find someone now and pull them in.
And then from the podcasting perspective, there's quite a few different news podcasts out there. But Podtacular, we cover a lot of wide breadth news, and then a lot of other podcasts focus on specific news aspects of that. So we're kind of another very broad, but not as deep, where other ones are a lot more deep and maybe a little less broad. And then you have a lot of the competitive side of things also having their little branches in that as well. So even though there are numerous communities within a specific kind of branch of an experience, there's a lot of other little fine-tuned communities. So if you're looking for something, there's a community out there. But if there's not, then if you're interested in starting a community, start a community and be a avenue for other people that are interested in that kind of stuff to find you and have that commonality and bond over that. Be open and welcoming to all potential members who are sharing your interest. It goes miles just to be willing to talk to someone, willing to open up and say, hey, I see that you really like this. That's really cool. I'm into that too. What do you like about it, and why is it so interesting to you? So striking up a dialogue and really engaging with folks actually makes a huge difference within a community.
Yep. It's a good way to make a connection because, you know, we all love this video game. There are many aspects of it, but it's still we all have one shared thing that we love and can relate to, right? Like anytime you like crack a random like Halo specific joke, you know, people are in on it and
right.
Yeah, instant bond. I wish I had one right now. I can't. Damn. I'll come prepared next time for jokes.
It's a puma.
There you go.
There's one.
But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the Griffball side of that, too. And you guys have had a lot of history with actually being a safe community to be a part of.
Yeah, it's funny because the Griffwar community, when it first started on the Rooster Teeth forums, was not that kind of a community. It was a very toxic community at the time. But some of the best years in the history of Griffwar were the Griffwar Hub, and Goose and Cow were very big on having a very welcoming and safe community for players. And there's a reason that that was the most successful years that Griffwar had. I think when Halo 4 launched, there were upwards of 400 teams in that first season. And it was because of the environment that they fought so hard to develop. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you will get a lot of toxic players in like the competitive side because people get very emotional and what they get involved in. But on the casual side, people just are there to have fun and they just want to be around other people who are like that. So Goose and Cow were very, very big on expanding on that group of individuals, and that's why they are so successful.
So always being open and welcoming to other people who share your interests is a surefire way to gain new friends and get other people involved with creating a community where you can actually share your common interests with that. Being accessible through social media and other interactive platforms is also very helpful. Being able to have a presence out there where people can find your community is something that is very key. Also, partnering with similar communities to help cross-pollinate community members is a big thing. So one of the reasons why I like to do this panel is just showing the many different communities that are out there. And if you're not a part of a community, there are ways to get involved with one, or there's ways to start one and get people together. And if people have a similar interest to you and they're looking for something that you're specifically fond of or attached to, then they'll eventually find you. Or you'll find someone else who has a similar idea, and then you either merge together or you find ways to kind of support each other but stay separate. And that really fosters a really cool dynamic that's a positive feedback loop. And I've seen that happen quite a few times, and it works really well if it's done right.
I always get excited when the forging communities tend to get involved with other communities. The Griffwar maps were fantastic, but then like the racing community, especially because racing is surprisingly will come out and be a very big part of people's involvement. But then when you add in the forgers and what they're able to create in Halo 4 and Halo 5's Forge, it just takes things to the next level, and it's just really cool to see the synergy of the two communities when they come together.
Once we get the communities together, we start phase two.
Last thing is probably one of the more important things up here. If you're running a community, there's a lot of time and effort involved with doing so. If you're truly passionate about something, you're going to spend the effort to actually make sure it thrives and keeps going. And if you're a part of a community, respect that the people that are helping lead it are putting in that time and effort. It's not something that is just easily done where they're just spending 20 minutes a day. They're spending hours every month, or if not hours every day, to make sure that their community has the stuff that they need and is supported in a way that makes them continue to thrive. And I'm sure both of these, or all three of these guys up here can say that they've put in so many hours just to make sure that the schedules are right and up to date for the next set of Griffball tournaments or matchups, or making sure that people have the resources to start building their armor or get the kind of support where if someone's struggling, they have an idea of where to go next.
Yep. Always being open and accessible, as you said, you know, trying to encourage people. We're trying to coordinate things like that monstrosity we built last night.
That's a fun story for another time.
That is a community coming together right there.
I would definitely recommend, though, if you're part of a community, just appreciate the work that a lot of the community leaders are putting in, because it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that doesn't go noticed, but it makes a huge difference when the time comes to it.
And if you're looking to start a community, definitely reach out to people for help, because if they're invested in the little niche that you're working towards, you'd be surprised how willing people are to help, because it just gives them something to do with their time, because not everyone well, not everyone may know that there's like a racing community or an infection community out there. And then when they do, it's just like, I really want to be involved with this. And so you want to reach out to those people because you just never know the amount of hours that they're willing to put in for it.
Yeah. So we're going to jump into our communities specifically. So for the Podtacular community, we've gone through several ups and downs. We've been around since 2005. So there's been lots of changes as community changes and as the games kind of ebb and flow with community content. But all in all, we're a community that really loves just Halo in general. It could be multiplayer, it could be campaign, it could be just admiring artwork that people put out there. From a podcast perspective, we try to cover a lot of different facets of the community. So we'll talk about any new articles that come out from a news perspective, or if there's a big development within books that are coming out, or like the Halo TV show, there'll probably be a lot of news for that one coming out soon. We'll have those discussions. If there's a big community topic going on, like whether Halo should or should not have Sprint, we'll have a discussion about that as well. So we try to have a good heartbeat on the community and also talk to relevant news or community events that are happening at the time.
Quick poll. Should Halo have Sprint? Raise your hand if you think yes. I'm seeing...
Don't stone me.
Four yes. With one apprehensive.
It's a minority.
I like sprinting with a sword. Give me a break.
All right, the votes have it. Sprint's out. You heard it here first.
Who doesn't care if there is Sprint or not?
Four, five.
Looks like less.
Maybe. Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to see
what you think.
If you have to ignite that debate, you're going to tear this community apart.
Yeah.
We could ask the BR one next. but we're a pretty small community as far as kind of a concerted effort, but we do continue to do game nights on Fridays, and we do have a small Discord server, but our listeners are basically our community, and we try to kind of give a lot of up-to-date news where we can and provide some really cool discussions. Part of that, too, is we get to have folks like these guys on our podcast, so... Just from the fact that Podtacular has been around for a while and all the contacts that we've developed over time, we're able to reach out to people and do interviews with folks and kind of give another aspect or perspective on some of the stuff that is happening, whether it's from an official source or if it's from a community resource. So that's something that we really pride ourselves in from a Podtacular perspective.
So the Griffball community originally started... back from Rooster Teeth, who had originally made the game tie back in 2007. I think it was December of that year, they had their original A tournament, and where they made the American Griffball League of America. And that has been running 3 to 4 leagues nonstop since then. So we're going on almost 13 years here. The game has changed quite a bit as new games come out. So Halo 3 was very... the base of it, the standard hammer, sword, and ball... gameplay, but then as new games come out, we made new variants. So when Reach came out and Sprint and Evade were added to the game, we made a dash variant to include those. And while the base of the game is still hammers and swords, it played entirely different. We had to change the size of the court to accommodate how quickly players can move around. When Halo 4 came around, they introduced passing into the game, which changed. What is the biggest shakeup we've ever seen? It changed the way it was played entirely. Passing was the main way certain teams would score or to hold on to the ball. Then Halo 5 comes around and thrusters and ground pound and all these other armor abilities come into the game and change it. And as the years go through, some players prefer the old vanilla style of Halo 3 and Reach. And there's a whole different community of players that prefer the passing and the higher pace gameplay of Halo 4 and 5. But at the base of it, we still have our 3 to 4 leagues a year, varying from make your own teams to draft leagues to bid leagues. And it just varies pretty much season by season at this point.
Little fun fact, the AGLA is actually the longest running Halo competitive league out there.
Yes, that's kind of a weird thing that you don't really think about looking back on things, because... Yeah, because MLG stopped at a certain point with Halo 3. But yep. No, we've been nonstop. We have not missed a season yet.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Anvil Station. We're I guess, relatively new. We're a bit of an offshoot, but I guess if you want to go back in time to the Halo cosplay community as a start, I guess it would really be with the 405th and a man named Adam Grumbo. It was like a long time ago he wanted to figure out how to make armor, but there wasn't anything like online, so he made his own website and community, and that eventually became the 405th as we know it. So they're focused, obviously, on trying to get tutorials out there because that was Adam's original thing. How do you build armor? And it was getting that knowledge out there and sharing it. And over time, there have been some ups and downs. There was a dark time, I think, where the forum was infested with just spam and malware. And the community actually could not even come together very much because we couldn't communicate. And then with the rise of like social media and Facebook, we kind of diversified into different Facebook groups, other things. And there's been a bit of like smaller localized groups popping up, like us, Anvil Station, things in like Michigan and like Arizona. And
Impact Props.
Impact Props. They run off and do their own shenanigans and videos and stuff like
Stony
that.
Stony Props.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different communities, but we are all still tied on the fact that we like to build armor and other things and props in the Halo universe.
Like that thing.
I like that thing.
But fun fact on our end, that was actually prototyped in Forge and based on designs from the Forge pieces.
Yeah. We forged it in real life. Who knew?
There's another little tidbit to that cross-community happenings. You got Forge crossing over into cosplay. And
Exactly.
Yeah. But there's also a bit of, I guess, crossover of Machinima, because I remember when we did that Red versus Blue episode. I guess the other thing about being such a visible people in costume is that you get asked to do a lot of things, like to show up when you, like 343 likes to maintain a good relationship with the Halo costuming community, and I guess we tend to always be at their disposal when you need somebody to stand around and look pretty in formats.
Sorry, what did he say?
He said so you can turn into monitor mode right now and start spamming fusion coils.
I will not confirm or deny this claim.
We actually restrained the monitor. He's over in the booth if you take a look. So
he's been quarantined.
Yeah.
Yes, he's on probation. That's why he's looking at the floor in sorrow if you go stare at him. No fusion coils. You're bad.
But yeah, the main thing about the cosplay community, other than the fact that we all get together, because building this armor is not an easy thing or even a short thing, so it's a long-term commitment with a large community to support you and you come together. And obviously the high point of any time you do a cosplay stuff is usually a convention. That's when everyone meets together. In fact, this weekend right now is probably one of the largest cosplay gatherings in Dragon Con. There's always a huge Halo parade every year there. And in fact, we used to always feel a bit of rivalry here on the West Coast with those East Coast guys, because here's their giant Dragon Con parade and it overlaps with PAX. So every year we're like, here's our photo at PAX. There's their giant parade down like Dragon Con. But you know, it's a fun rivalry.
Does anyone know if there's actually any Spartans in Seattle at this point? Because I would be at PAX right now, but Outpost is happening.
I'm assuming there's probably a couple. Maybe that are only local.
Maybe like two, yeah, three.
If that. Yeah.
So we let
they're in the wrong place. Here.
Yeah. So that's our communities. That's kind of what we do. There's a lot of other communities out there that obviously we didn't get a chance to cover. But if anyone has any questions, now is your time to come ask us whether it's anything specific about these communities up here or anything about just Halo communities in general. So, go ahead, coming up and use the mic,
please.
So, mostly aimed at you two gentlemen, since I unfortunately was over there during the armor building panel. So obviously online, we've got all these resources for designs and such, but in terms of the physical resources, where have you found to be some of the better places to go? Because I know like these special foams often get used, but I'm like, I have no idea where somebody would even find that stuff.
Well, okay, so this is an interesting one. We live at, this is something that's actually cropped up in the community quite a bit because resources vary between countries. So in the United States, even on the West Coast, it's easy to find foam in like Harbor Freight. But if you live in Canada, they don't have that. Europeans have whined for years about how do we get high quality foam? It's like, and somebody in like Southeast Asia, which I've seen, they have no access to it. But as a community, we try to find sources and people innovate. In fact, like in the early years of the community, people were obsessed with fiberglass, where people could just make stuff out of paper. and even finding fiberglass was hard. And then somebody like found foam, and like it's been a revolution in like at least the United States and stuff, but other countries it's still hard. But so to answer your question, it's a community thing because like you have to have local knowledge. So like I know from the top of my head, like, yeah, people in Southeast Asia are having a lot of trouble finding foam. Like, and same thing with like Europe, like where are they gonna find high quality, cheap foam? Here in America, we have it very easy.
If you want an actual answer to that question, I'm not putting Ben down here or anything, but if you want an actual answer on where to find actual materials, you can hit us up at Anvil Station on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We just launched a website that you can check out, and we'll use our community to try and give you some tips, because that's kind of how I did it. I initially was getting my foam from Lowe's, and then I kind of asked around. I was like, hey, so the foam at Lowe's is kind of expensive. Is there anywhere else? I'd never heard of Harbor Freight before, and they're like, oh, go to Harbor Freight. I Googled it and found one close by. Can get some really cheap stuff there. So, yeah, utilize what you can, and just ask people, and people can give you great advice on everything related to it.
Which is what he just did, so there.
Yeah, just like that. You asked us, and he kind of gave you a runaround answer. I gave you a place to go and look.
I was trying to keep it on topic. This is the community panel.
I know that. But he also needs a real answer.
All right, thanks for the question. Does anyone else have a question?
What about you? You have a question? How about you over there in the Marine armor? You have a question? No?
All right, no more questions?
How about Emil back there? Do you have a question?
All right, well, thanks for coming out and attending the panel. Enjoy the rest of your outpost, everybody. We will be around here to take any specific questions that you guys have or just to meet these folks in a little bit. But thanks for coming.
You guys rock.